over.
Okay, the conference is now being recorded, okay?
Okay, that's fine.
Got it.
All right, thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, we want to welcome everyone again across the country. And again, this teleclass is called Experiencing a Sacred Circle, and my name is Charlene Proctor. And my very dear friend, Deborah Koppel-Mitchell, and I will be with you tonight. We're going to be facilitating this class together. And before we give our introductions, I want to put everyone on mute, and that means that all of you will be able to hear my voice and Deb's, but you will be in the listen-only mode. But later on in the class tonight, we're going to be all connected, and I'll let you know when we'll open the lines again so we can talk. And I also mentioned before that we're recording this link because we want to be able to post it on both of our websites. My website is thegoddessnetwork.net, and Deb's website is spearswomenscircles.com. And we'll give you that information again at the end of the class. So for now, I'm going to toggle you all off so we can begin our mini lecture. Actually, Deb, why don't you hit *5 right now?
Sure.
Will you do that? Okay.
Yes.
The conference is in lecture mode.
Okay. So now we're going to learn a little bit about sacred circles. And again, I'm Charlene Proctor, and currently I operate the Goddess Network. And what we are at the Goddess Network is we're an online and we're a live learning community. And we have a website, thegoddessnetwork.net. And what we like to do is to bring awareness to people about personal growth and the sacred feminine principle, and I teach that. In terms of circles, we have an online sacred circle program through our website, and we're also starting them live in our office. And actually, on our website, we're running a program where we can bring people together all across the country and put them in groups locally so that they can start their own groups. My sole work is about empowering women, and I teach people how to think positive and affirm the goodness in their lives. And I've recently written a couple of books, Let Your Goddess Grow and The Women's Book of Empowerment, and those books are about how to affirm the goodness in our lives, and we'll talk probably a little bit about that after the session. My partner tonight is Deborah Koppel-Mitchell. She is a very experienced circle leader, and the gatherings that she has done over the years has played a major role in creating balance and success for many, many women in their lives. So, Deb, tell everyone who you are and what you do.
Well, thank you for that intro, and both Charlene and I want to welcome those of you who just joined us. I'm Deborah Koppel-Mitchell. I have been a circle facilitator and host of circles for over 7 years, and out of starting the circle, I was inspired to create a magazine that's geared towards circle principles and the principle of connecting, and it's called Spheres Women's Circles Publication. It is a connecting tool that is a resource and forum for expression of the feminine heart, and we have just recently expanded into a yin-yang style magazine. I think it's the only one of its kind, where one cover is for women, and then you flip it over, and the other cover is for men, and then the magazine of the women and men feminine energies meet in the middle. So we just produced our third issue, which is ready for distribution now, and the theme of this issue is called The Power of Change, which is a really important subject matter at this time.
That sounds great. And I loved your last magazine that you did with the yin-yang, because it was really great to get a man's perspective on all the things that women like to talk and think about.
Thank you. It's really interesting to get the feedback and hear how most of the men are really excited and honored to be acknowledged in the magazine, and they mainly seem to read the men's side. But women are just clamoring to read the men's side and hear from conscious men. So it's been a really great and expanding experience.
Well, we decided to do this class tonight because many women have come to both of us and expressed interest in learning more how to have their own circles. So tonight you'll have some wisdom and insights on how to run a circle and what we've experienced in the past with circles, and help you understand why they're important. And then Deborah is going to actually facilitate a circle online. And the neat thing about that is that we'll all be connected in one big, wonderful, giant circle. And at the end of the program, we'll open up the lines and we'll have some time for sharing and for some questions.
Now, and hopefully you've all taken time to nurture yourself with food and create a sacred space that you're in right now that you can be undistracted and just feel safe.
Now, Deb is somebody who's been leading circles for 7 years. I'd like to hear how you have been enriched by these circles, and how have they enriched the lives of women who've participated in them?
Wow, that's a loaded question. I started my first circle not even knowing what a circle was. All I knew was I kept meeting more and more incredible, like-minded women, and I knew that if I brought everyone under the same roof at the same time, that we could create magic. In fact, I had remembered seeing that movie, Witches of Eastwick, and I always, even though it was a comedy, there was something that really rang true to me, that these women could combine their energies and really start things manifesting with just their intention. And so I knew that with the wonderful, powerful women that I knew, that we could really create something. And it was shortly after that, in 1998, people started giving me all these fabulous books that are out there, which I always have an ongoing list of Creating Circles books, suggested reading in the magazine and on the website. And some of my favorites are like The Millionth Circle and Creating Sacred Circles and Women Circling the Earth. And I looked to see when these books were printed and published, and it was the same year that I felt the nudge to start my own circle. So I realized that I was part of something much greater, and it was very inspiring. I have to say that giving myself the gift of a circle on a regular basis has really helped me connect and accept my own femininity and really bring balance into my life.
Which is something we all need more of.
We all need more and more, and that's another thing we'll be getting into. Charlene and I were talking at the beginning of the call, just talking about what our day was full of, and you know, all of us have such busy lives, so making an appoint to commit to coming together with your friends or like-minded women that you don't know but will soon feel connected to is such a gift that you can give yourself, and is a part of creating the balance that we're all craving. And I realized, too, what a healing force coming together in circle is. And we'll be talking more about that as we go on, too.
Okay, now, as I mentioned, we have these class notes posted. We've had them posted online for a while, so you don't have to take notes. If you don't have the class notes, you can simply send an email to sacredcircle@getresponse.com. And we have an autoresponder set up, so the email will automatically send you the class notes for tonight. And so you would click on that and open it up, and the notes will be there from everything we're going to talk about tonight. If that doesn't work, don't worry. You can email our offices at the Goddess Network, and our company mailbox is tgn@thegoddessnetwork.net. Just send us an email tomorrow and tell us you want the class notes, and we'll be happy to get them to you.
Charlene and I both wanted you all to be able to really relax and let yourself not think about anything while taking this class and then stepping into experiencing the circle.
Now, I think we'd like to start off with just a teeny little story of a friend of mine, because Dev and I were just talking earlier and then just a minute ago about balance and how we're leading all these hectic lives and how women don't take time to just decompress and sit together and be together and share wisdom and insight. Well, I had dinner with a friend of mine a couple months ago, and she is a high-level marketing executive at L'Oreal Cosmetics. Her job is very busy. And we were sitting and talking and at dinner, and she was telling me that she has this knitting circle that gets together once a month. She says it is the most favorite thing that she looks forward to every month, a chance to sit with a group of women. And not only are they weaving the stories of their personal lives into fine meaning in their challenges and their things that they talk about, but they're also knitting at the same time. And I just think that is a fantastic metaphor for people who can get together and share. And I think that in what came to mind when we talked about balance and stress just a second ago is that it seems like it's such a wonderful benefit and a stress reducer, too, to sit together because we don't do it enough. And I thought, Deb, you and I were talking about the benefits. And a while ago you told me there was some statistic out there about oxytocin.
Yes, there's a while back.
Isn't that true? What is that?
Yes.
Remember?
Well, a while back, UCLA conducted a study with women on women who got together on a regular basis with their girlfriends, or even just with women on a regular basis. And they found that we produce the chemical oxytocin in our bodies naturally when we come together, and that is a very helpful thing in reduction of stress and just for all-around health. And they found that the same thing did not happen in men. So it's extra, extra important for us to create time to get together with other women, especially women that we feel safe with and like-mindedness with.
Right. So why do we really need circles, Deb? Tell us what you think some of the major benefits are of why we really need circles today, and maybe why we've even forgotten about this basic need that we have to come together and sit in a circle.
Well, if you think about how many women we've just, Charlene and I can hear when people come on the line, and welcome to all of you who have just joined us, how many of us are craving some kind of source of connection. And I found especially, again, I know I keep saying like-minded women, but that's really important. So many of us were raised in a time when women were just competitors. It wasn't a fun feeling growing up for a lot of us. And out in the work world, a lot of competition. And women have not really naturally supported each other. And men have always networked and had all sorts of great ways of sharing resources and building businesses together. So circles are a way that women can come together and create a sacred space together and really create healing and peace. And one of the most important things that I have found, again, I feel like I'm repeating a bit, but in talking about how crazy our lives can get, creating a sacred space and knowing that you're going to have that on a regular basis provides a very needed balance in your life. And then as Dr. Jean Shimoda Bolen talks about in The Millionth Circle, that we carry that energy with us into our relationships, our communities, and our world, and it really is a rippling effect.
And in my opinion, and I know you've mentioned this, about how we need to revisit that feeling, that basic feeling of sisterhood. And I think it's absolutely something our culture is feeling like we need to revitalize today. And that is so interesting that you mentioned Jean Shinoda Bolen. Because she says that a circle is a trustworthy place, and it actually has the spiritual center and the respect for boundaries. And she says that it's a powerful transformer of the women in it. And I was thinking of that today, and I said to myself, well, why is this true? And to me, it's because the circle doesn't have a hierarchy, and everyone has an equal power of voice. It's expansive. It's a place to reunite and to feel part of a whole, and it is the one place where we can share our personal and spiritual journeys equally. The other thing about a circle is that I think, and I've seen this over the years, and I'll bet that Deb, you know this to be true too, is that it helps women develop a communication skill because they are developing their voice by expressing. I've had a lot of women come to me and say how much it has helped their confidence level just to take the time to get up and speak in front of a group because maybe they don't perform that function at work or you know, they might need to voice their ideas and so forth.
Well, and also the circle encourages heart-centered sharing, and that brings out more authenticity. And that is something that is really needed now more than ever for both women and men. And my husband and I have found that when we even have dinner parties, to just try to guide them subtly into a single, what I call a single conversation where everyone's, just one person speaking at a time and everyone is listening, you can feel a shift in energy. And in when you're sitting in circle, you can feel that energy even more strongly, and it creates a container, and the energy is tangible, and it's very uplifting and inspiring and enriching and, again, very healing. So it's not just for women, though we do really want to encourage for women to create that sacred space together, where you don't have to deal with the distraction of having male energy there. I find before doing a circle, it's really important. All these years, my husband has been so sweet and cooperative about actually leaving the house and having the sense that it's just women together creates an even more sacred, safe space, and so women tend to feel more safe and free about sharing from their hearts and letting their emotions go.
Yeah. And the last thing that came to mind for me as you were talking was that there's this aspect, I think, that we have really forgotten in our culture today, and that is just expressing the truth of our own experience of our lives. And that statement, I think, is a lot different than just getting together and talking about all the bad things that happen and kind of dumping all of our negativity out. It's about just verbalizing and observing our experiences and just for one moment in a month to sit together and to try to lend some meaning to our lives. And to ask each other for support, and I know that women really don't do that enough. We think we can conquer the whole world on our own, but that's a story for another day.
Yes, and just bringing yourself into a circle environment is a very supportive thing to do for yourself and others. And a lot of times I always say in the circles I've conducted, if someone simply wants to sit and just hold the space or just be in the space and suck up the energy, that's fine too. There's certain guidelines that we'll be going over that are basic principles of the circle that are very important.
Now, Deb, you've already said that we talked about women evolving and kind of discovering their own ideas and solutions for their lives and taking the time to make space to connect with the source energy, and then also taking time to be an active listener. The only other things that I can, and I guess these are my quick tips, because I know one thing that we want you all to do tonight is to have more confidence and more information about how to have your own really successful and nurturing circle. The things that I would point out over the years that I've experienced, my personal tips, I call them, is to just make sure that whether you are a leader or a participant of the circle, to just be very supportive and to be always listening with your intellect and emotion or your mind and your heart at the same time, and to never be judgmental about the stories and the experiences that people bring to this circle. Wouldn't you agree, Deb, that that's true?
Yes, that's one of the basic principles and guidelines for all circles is not judging yourself or others.
Mm-hmm. And to make sure that when you're an active listener, to really ask sincere questions and to be very participative in someone else's story and to share personal examples that somebody can relate to. And again, to be a very, very reflective listener. And I know, Deb, you had one thing about how sometimes in groups that maybe we're tempted to fix other people.
Yes.
Which isn't a good thing.
Yeah, that's another thing. We always use the example of having a Kleenex box handy. And I always have at least three boxes spread around the circle so that when someone's sharing or just sitting there and feels like crying, that all they have to do is reach and get a tissue. And as women, we don't immediately jump into that caretaker mode and think that we have to put our arms around them or get them the Kleenex, because that interrupts the flow of the woman just being able to express freely and not feel like all of a sudden, maybe subconsciously, that she needs to take care of everyone in the circle being concerned about her. So that is definitely something that I found to be a helpful guideline to remember, to let people have their thing. If someone starts talking negatively, let them be negative. And if your mind starts judging that, gee, they sound negative, let that thought just like truck out of you. Instead, turn it into compassion and admiration for that person feeling, and honor for feeling that person feeling safe enough to share in front of you.
Now, once you mentioned to me about, and you were talking about some of your own circle experiences, and you said that there are certain things that you can do to get people to share deeply, and you have these things you call divinity cards. What are those?
Yes, in fact, we just changed the name of these cards to, and I forgot to mention it to you, to the Spheres Circles Message Card, because I found that. And I wanted to even call them messenger cards. And some of the feedback I got from the word divinity and messenger was that it just had a little bit of a religious tone. So I really want to keep, just keep it very open to all.
How do you use a message card to get someone to share deeply in a circle?
Well, what I found throughout the years is some people are intimidated about sharing and some people talk too much and just want to ramble on and on and on. So what I created are these cards on just plain white index cards, and you've probably seen similar things before, but you can just cut out simple phrases or words or pictures that inspire you, and always with a positive tone, and create a stack. I've created a stack of about 150 or 200, and we're just starting production on them. It will be a little bit until they're available, but if you're interested, I'll mention it again at the end of the show to be sure and email me, and I'll be sure you get the announcement about them. But what's so fun about these cards is they create an atmosphere of a game and fun, and also they create a guideline for sharing. For instance, if I pulled the cards, which today earlier I pulled three cards, and they say, one says inside, the next card says true, and then the third card says feel the results. Then you sit with those cards for a moment and think, wow, how does that go with what's going on with me right now? Or
so it's kind of an impetus to tune into your intuition.
Tuning into your intuition, and also if you can't think of anything and you're not used to sharing, you can simply share what each word means to you. But a lot of women find that the cards are amazingly coincidental and affirming of things that are going on with them in their own lives.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, for instance, I hadn't thought about what I was going to say, and that's the idea, too, with the sharing, is not to think while other people are talking about what you're going to say, but take a simple pause before you share and let it just come from your heart. In fact, you can physically just put your hand on your heart and allow what wants to come out from that centered heart place. When I see these cards in the order in which they are inside true and feel the results, it sounds like a formula to me of just tapping into what's inside, if that's what's true for me, and then to really feel the results, feel it all happening. So it can be very exciting and fun. And I've been making these cards for years, and I usually let women take them with them, and also have encouraged women to make their own set of cards. I usually pull a little message for myself almost every day. But anyway, getting back to how that provides guidelines for the sharing is exactly that. It keeps people from getting into their long, dramatic stories. And if it is apropos with what's going on with them, they can share a little bit about what's happening, why perhaps I'm not feeling in touch with my insides, and that I needed to feel reminded to tap into my insides, and I know from doing that in the past that I can really feel the results or whatever. And anyway, I feel like I'm rambling a little bit now myself. But
okay. So what we want to say about the cards is that it's a really great tool or a technique to open up and share deeply on a greater level. And I think it also is sometimes a good vehicle for someone who's leading the circle to kind of get people into that sharing mode and to get them in a space where they can do that effectively. And what I mean by that is that it benefits them the most.
Yes, and a lot of circles use different things. In fact, tonight we're going to do something a little differently because we're on the phone. We're going to kind of modify the circle, the normal sphere circle formula to fit the phone. But a lot of circles choose themes, like around Mother's Day, women sharing about, you know, lessons from their mothers, or, you know, what they wish they hadn't learned from their mothers or along those lines. And it really can be a very enriching experience. And the thing that we all find after being in circle and listening to others sharing, if you're really active listening and being fully present with each woman, you have the gift of feeling that magical connection, that common thread that we all feel with each other.
We're going to move ahead to what the role of the leader or moderator is in a group, because I know that when we teach people how to conduct circles or to even improve their circle, that's always a good subject to just briefly touch on. And the one thing that I would like to just mention is the concept of the safe space. And in my former career as a researcher, I used to be a simulation architect, and what that means is that we designed giant simulations or exercises for organizations to go through so that they could find solutions to the problem. And so I was really familiar with designing roles and putting people into roles and being in these simulated environments. And the one thing that we talked a lot about in order to get people to find solutions to their issues was that they had to feel safe within the environment we were designing. In other words, they had to feel free, comfortable with playing their role, and to know that everything in that happened within that environment that we created was going to stay there. And I think that's kind of akin in some ways to this concept of safe space in the circle. We want to always make sure that the space that we create when we share is what we call sacred, and that it's confidential, and that we should not feel inhibited in any way to say, you know, what's on our mind. Do you think that is pretty much the concept of safe space, Deborah, or could you enhance that?
Yeah, I think, again, it's like what I was talking about before, about if that every woman in circle, when it comes her time, her time to speak, she shouldn't be having to think about what she's saying and edit herself If she's feeling sad, she should be able to express that. If she's feeling silly and giggly, she should be able to do that. And so creating the sacred space is up to really the facilitator and all the participants to not let that judgmental vibe even enter in. And if it does, just let it fall away from you.
In terms of the energy level of a group, do you have any tips for people on how to be more sensitive to the energy level of a group?
Or that is one of the most important roles of the facilitator and also of the participants, because you can, if you are truly speaking from your heart and with your attention outside of yourself, you will sense the energy in the room. And you can really see who's fabulous, who's queen of that is Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like you become a type of a talk show host, and you learn when something needs to be moved along, and you learn how to gently do that. If you feel somebody starts, I notice, especially in circles, when people start self-promoting, which should be a guideline that is, people are told ahead of time that that's not what the circle space is for, you can feel the energy drop in the circle really strongly. And so then it would be up to the facilitator to gently say, if you have anything to promote about your business or a class you're taking or something that's meant for before or after the circle. And I always have a table also available at my circle events for people to put their promotional materials on and so on, so that they know they can connect in that way too.
Okay, so we want to move as quickly as we can to actually experiencing the sacred circle. And Deborah, you are so good at that, and I absolutely can't wait to do that. I've been waiting all day to be in your circle.
Thank you. I've been needing it myself.
So, what we'd like to do is very quickly, and remember, everyone can get these notes downloaded. So, these are all bullet pointed, these next few tips on structuring a group. So, Deborah, what I want you to do is to just share some of your wisdom and insight on what your guidelines are about circle. And I know we had some things called the Sphere Circle Guidelines. And what are those, and what can they do for people?
Yes, and for people that haven't been to my circles before, I usually send them in advance so that everyone is coming from the same page when they come to circle. And also have the guidelines available at the circle. And one of the most important things to remember, well, actually all of these are important principles, and they're guidelines for really every circle. And circle time is for sharing from the heart, not promoting businesses and lecturing, announcements, or long storytelling. You get talking about a shifting in energy. You can tell when somebody all of a sudden gets on a soap, like a soapbox, and acts like they're teaching, trying to teach all of us. And that is a huge energy dropper. So that's a big no-no. You're really here to stay in that heart-centered space of sharing and sharing what your process is.
What is creating the calling of the circle? What is that?
Well, when a circle begins, and we'll be doing that tonight, it's really important to have kind of a beginning, a middle, and an end. So you create a calling of the circle, which with my circles, I usually use these Tibetan bells and actually say the words, "This is the calling of the circle." And then you'll be experiencing that tonight. And there's so many different ways and guidelines in other books and also on my website on ways to call a circle. Some people do more Native American traditions. Some people take time to smudge sage around. I try to do something that is agreeable to people of all walks of life, no matter what their affiliations are spiritually. And so I find just a simple tone, like a bell or some of the bowls or even music, is a really good way to start the circle.
And sometimes you've mentioned to me that you can do a little meditation or light a candle. Those are also kind of little special rituals that you can do to just start the energy going.
Yes, and that's all about creating the sacred space, which it's up to you as a facilitator to create a sacred environment for people to walk into. I always find that I start flying around.